6. His head had cleared a little by the time he got to school, and his mind had gone to work trying to convince him that nothing was wrong. Really nothing at all. Maybe something a little weird had happened, some sort of psychic flash, a momentary peek into one possible future. But so what? No big deal, right? The idea was actually sort of cool. The kind of thing they were always printing in the weird supermarket newspapers Greta Shaw liked to read when she was sure Jake's mother wasn't around. Papers like the National Enquirer and Inside View. Except, of course, in those papers, the psychic flash was always a kind of tactical nuclear strike. A woman who dreamed of a plane crash and changed her reservations, or a guy who dreamed his brother was being held prisoner in a Chinese fortune cookie factory, and it turned out to be true. When your psychic flash consisted of knowing that a Kiss song was going to play next on the radio, that a fat lady had a doll wrapped in a red towel in her Bloomingdale's bag, and that a pretzel vendor was going to drink a bottle of Yoo-hoo instead of a can, how big a deal could it be? Forget it, he advised himself. It's over. A great idea, except by period 3, he knew it wasn't over. It was just beginning. He sat in pre-algebra watching Mr. Knopf solving simple equations on the board and realized with dawning horror that a whole new set of memories was surfacing in his mind. It was like watching strange objects float slowly toward the surface of a muddy lake. I'm in a place I don't know, he thought. I mean, I will know it, or would have known it, if the Cadillac had hit me. It's the way station. But the part of me that's there doesn't know that yet. That part only knows it's in the desert someplace and there are no people. I've been crying because I'm scared. I'm scared that this might be hell. By 3 o'clock, when he arrived at Midtown Lanes, he knew he had found the pump in the stables and had gotten a drink of water. The water was very cold and tasted strongly of minerals. Soon he would go inside and find a small supply of dried beef in a room which had once been a kitchen. He knew this as clearly and surely as he'd known the pretzel vendor would select a bottle of Yoo-hoo and that the doll peeking out of the Bloomingdale's bag had blue eyes. It was like being able to remember forward in time. He bowled only 2 strings, the first in 96, the second in 87. Timmy looked at his sheet when he turned it in at the counter and shook his head. You're having an off day today, champ, he said. You don't know the half of it, Jake said. Timmy took a closer look. You okay? You look really pale. I think I might be coming down with a bug. This didn't feel like a lie, either. He was sure as hell coming down with something. Go home and go to bed, Timmy advised. Drink lots of clear liquids. Gin, vodka, stuff like that. Jake smiled dutifully. Maybe I will. He walked slowly home. All of New York was spread out around him. New York at its most seductive. A late afternoon street serenade with a musician on every corner, all the trees in bloom, and everyone apparently in a good mood. Jake saw all this, but he also saw behind it, saw himself cowering in the shadows of the kitchen as the man in black drank like a grinning dog from the stable pump, saw himself sobbing with relief as he, or it, moved on without discovering him, saw himself falling deeply asleep as the sun went down and the stars began to come out like chips of ice in the harsh purple desert sky. He let himself into the duplex apartment with his key and walked into the kitchen to get something to eat. He wasn't hungry, but it was habit. He was headed for the refrigerator when his eye happened on the pantry door, and he stopped. He realized suddenly that the way station and all the rest of that strange other world where he now belonged was behind that door. All he had to do was push through it and rejoin the Jake that already existed there. The queer doubling in his mind would end. The voices endlessly arguing the question of whether or not he had been dead since 8:25 that morning would fall silent. Jake pushed open the pantry door with both hands, his face already breaking into a sunny, relieved smile, and then froze as Mrs. Shaw, who was standing on a step stool at the back of the pantry, screamed. The can of tomato paste she had been holding dropped out of her hand and fell to the floor. She tottered on the stool, and Jake rushed forward to steady her before she could join the tomato paste.